I knew that I had a big opportunity and big chance of winning that. The one person I was most afraid of was Roger, because he knew so well how I sprint and what I can and can't do in a sprint, and vice versa, because we spent so many years living together over in Belgium, training together, doing sprints against each other, all of that sort of stuff. And I think when you know someone that well, it's not always a benefit to know a rider that well. It can definitely work against you. So I knew Rog was very, very dangerous for that one.
Well, they dare not mess around too much tactically, trying to manoeuvre themselves into first, second or third position, because not too far behind as they go inside.
The two pre-race favourites, Johan Museeuw and Peter van Petegem, have crashed and are out of contention as the four leaders enter the velodrome.
The last time check we got was 20 seconds to the two chasers. So if these guys slow down too much, Phil, those two big men will catch them up.
Fabian Cancellara, the young man of the break, just 23 and riding his second Paris-Roubaix, leads the way. He's a relatively unknown quantity at this stage, not the three-time winner he will later become. Then comes Roger Hammond, who Backstead is watching most closely, and bringing up the rear is Tristan Hoffmann, who twice been fourth in this race. Cancellara snakes up and down the banking as they hear the bell. One lap to go.
Watch out for Tristan Hoffmann as well. He's put himself in the right position. Cancellara wants none of it. He's moving up to the banking and down again. It's going to be Campbell's tactics now. Roger Hammond is on the lead. And Backstead will move till the last possible moment. Huge cheers.
There's a bit of jostling for position. Everyone is happy for Cancellara to be at the front. Backstead follows Hammond's wheel tracks and backs off slightly as the gap opens and closes in front of him.
Now can he show us his track skills? They're waiting till the very, very last moment here now. Museeuw and Petegem are closing in.
For a moment it looks like he's stuck on the inside, but there's just room to get by on the Côte d'Azur. Meanwhile, Hammond has to go round Cancellara, and as Backstead gets on top of his biggest gear, he gets his nose in front.
Magnus Backstead going with him here to the line. Backstead gets it. Third, second, it will be Tristan Hoffmann. Third, Roger Hammond. That equals Barry Hobart's 1972 best finish. And here, shaking hands, last year's winner, and Johan Museeuw. That is a fabulous picture. The line of Flanders comes over the line. He will take the fifth place. He has ridden his last Paris-Roubaix.
Time didn't really know what Cancellara was capable of. He was still very, very young. Obviously, Tristan Hoffmann, we all knew, was very fast in the sprint as well. So I think it came down to just knowing the track and knowing how the sprint on the Roubaix Velodrome happened. And I've managed to do enough research and sort of got to understand how people move on that particular track. And when I got boxed in on the back straight, it was I never really panicked, because I kind of knew that there was going to be a gap opening up on the inside as we coming out of the final turn, and as long as I had the legs, I was going to be able to get around. And very well, when Roger started going over the top of Cancellara, that little gap that I needed on the inside was opened up, and I went.
If ever a rider was built for Paris-Roubaix, it was Magnus Backstead. He stands 1.94 meters tall and at his peak tipped the scales at 95 kilograms. With the power to match, he could hammer over the cobbles, not to the extent that he didn't feel them, of course, but without being thrown around or allowing the uneven stones to choose his line for him. But rather like the journey from Compiègne to the Velodrome in Roubaix, Backstead's journey to victory in the Queen of the Classics was not smooth. It came after his career had taken a backward step for a couple of years, when he didn't even make it to the start line of his favourite race. Backstead came from a sporty family. An early passion for downhill skiing was replaced by an appetite for cycling, which paved the way for a 14-year professional career. Now he has a sporty family of his own as well. His wife Megan, then Megan Hughes, was British road race champion in 1998 and represented Wales in the Commonwealth Games. And with one daughter already in the pro ranks and another heading in that direction, and a women's version of the event on the horizon soon, Paris-Roubaix Day will always be circled on the calendar in the Baxted household. But there's more to Magnus's career than that spring day in April 2004, as I was keen to find out when I spoke to him on the phone shortly before we heard that Paris-Roubaix had been postponed for the second season in a row. Hopefully this episode will fill the cobblestone-shaped hole in the weekend. Well, Magnus, the sun is out, the air is fresh, it feels very spring-like to me, and I wonder for you what this time of year means. Do you get a feeling of excitement because the classics are coming?
Yeah, I always get a bit extra excited around here. So, you know, when we're getting up towards Milan-San Remo and we've covered Paris-Nice and Torino Adriatico, it's always that sort of, you can feel the anticipation of the big races coming. So, yeah, it's special.
Is it something that you do still get that a little knot in the stomach almost that you had when you were a rider?
Yeah, in a different way these days, but I still get just as excited to watch the races as I was riding it. And it's always got a special place in my heart and has had since I was, you know, 15, 16 years old when sort of I first became aware of the Spring Classics and especially Roubaix. So yeah, it's always filling me with a bit of that sort of, like you say, butterflies and then excitement.
That's funny because that's kind of where I wanted to start, really. You know, how did you get into cycling? Because I know you did winter sports first, and you know, what got you into cycling, and then was it a voyage of discovery? I'm assuming it must have been similar in Sweden that you would discover the Tour de France and maybe the Giro, and then the classics is like an opening a room, you know, the door to another room, isn't it? And discovering there's this whole other world of styles of racing. Is that how it was for you?
Well, yeah. If we go back to the start of my racing, I was a downhill skier since I could stand on my own two feet. I think, I must have been 2.5, 3 years old when I stood on skis the first time. So that was my whole career. You know, my whole youth was all about downhill skiing all the time because my dad was a really good skier back in the day, and you know, that was the route that I was determined on taking. And then when I was 11, 12 years old, I think, one of my best friends, he was doing a bit of cycling in the summer as well. And he said, you should come along one day. And I had a sort of a, should we call it a half racing bike. It still had mudguards and things, but it had drop handlebars on it. And I thought, you know, why not? I'll go out and ride with him for a bit. And yeah, one thing led to another, and I think a couple of weeks later, I did my first sort of local time trial, a 10K time trial. Somewhat unorthodoxly, took my running shoes to go to use for warming up. So I went for a run for a couple of kilometers to warm up for the TT, and ended up winning it. And 3 months later, I was national champion time trialing, and I sort of ended up doing both sports for up until the age of 19, I think. The winter I turned 19 was the year that I put my skis on the shelf and focused purely on cycling. But I wasn't really fully aware of the Tour de France as a youngster. Not that I can remember vividly. Anyway, the first sort of real memories I have of, you know, the international riders was when I managed to pick up a sort of an international cycling magazine. I can't remember what it was at the time, but it basically had a poster of Gilbert Duclos Lassalle with, you know, coming across the cobbles with RockShox on the front. And, you know, it was just that image to me was something just so awesome. And from that moment on, that kind of became my driving force, was to get to do that race at some point in my career. And it transpired from there, basically.
The full episode is available now for friends of the podcast. To sign up, go to thecyclingpodcast.com.